Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally. Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. The topic I'll be discussing today is your memory, staying vital and sharp at any age. Everyone experiences the frustration of memory lapses from time to time. Have you ever walked into a room to get something, then totally forgotten what you came for? Have you ever tried to remember the name of a song, book, or movie that you know well, but just drew a blank? Do you forget the names of people you meet right after they tell you? Few of us understand how memory works. We know that it is a function of our brains, often likened to the filing system of computers. But it is far more complex than any of us could ever imagine. Modern-day scientists, neurologists, and cognitive psychologists continue to study the human brain to learn the intricacies of how we store and receive memories. They have determined that memory is a brain-wide process, a complex web of seamless, intersecting electrical and chemical signals that uniquely encode, store, and allow for the possible retrieval of every memory created throughout our lifetime. Our memories are encoded and stored in different parts of the brain and in different ways. We are largely unaware of the vast amount of memory that is stored in our heads. Several different models explaining the function and basic structure of memory have been proposed over the years, but the model most commonly relied upon today is that of psychology professors Richard Atkinson and Richard Schifrin. In 1968, they proposed a multi-store model that can be broken down into three subsystems of memory: sensory, short-term, and long-term. According to this theory, information first detected by our sensory organs enters our sensory memory. When attention is paid to the input, the information is entered into our short-term memory. By repeating, rehearsing, or applying that information, it becomes encoded into our long-term memory. Sensory memory is fleeting, lasting about 200 to 500 milliseconds. Though brief, these memories are perfectly detailed and accurate, an exact replica of the experience. The sensory stimuli remains in our memory just long enough to perceive it. Our brains are designed to only store information that will serve us in the future. So all stimuli is rapidly perceived or ignored without any conscious attention on our part. All ignored or useless information will fade away or will be overwritten by new sensory information that comes in. Sensory memory is often broken down into three categories: iconic or visual, echoic or auditory, and haptic or tactile. Visual information is stored as a picture or an icon for only a half second after the stimuli ends. Auditory information may remain for 3 or 4 seconds. It is theorized that our sense of smell may be the sense most closely associated with memory. The physical locations of where smells are received and where they are processed into our memory are close proximity to each other, are in close proximity to each other. Whether smells tend to linger due to memory or because they continue to stimulate the senses remains a topic of controversy. Short-term memory, also known as primary or active memory, refers to current awareness or thoughts. It has limited time and capacity. The amount of stored information may vary between 1 to 7 different thoughts for no more than 30 seconds at a time. Unattended information is rapidly forgotten or bumped out of our short-term memory by new information. Information reinforced with rehearsal, association, or repetition will move to the third memory subsystem, long-term memory. Long-term memory is where information is continuously stored. This information may remain in our memory bank for several days or several decades, though it stays largely outside of our conscious awareness until it is needed. Some long-term memories are easily accessed. The recall of others may be more difficult. There are two types of long-term memory, declarative and procedural. Declarative memory includes all memories consciously available. And within declarative memory, there are two subdivisions, episodic memory and semantic memory. Episodic memory involves the recall of specific important experiences and events with details like location and time. Examples of episodic memory are memories of your wedding day, the birth of your baby, or your first romantic kiss. Closely related to episodic memory is autobiographical memory, memory of personal history. Many studies show that autobiographical memories are often related to emotional events. Emotional events are more likely to be recalled than unemotional events, and with more detail and clarity. Semantic memory, the other subdivision of declarative memory, is concerned with ideas, meanings, and concepts. When you remember the directions to a particular place, like home, school, or work, you are using your semantic memory. When you read the label on a food product and decide whether or not it is something you want to eat, you are using your semantic memory. Semantic memory is also used for remembering things like multiplication facts. The other primary type of long-term memory, procedural memory, is what tells us how to move our bodies and how to perform different skills like walking, talking, and eating, or riding a bike, tying shoes, and typing on a keyboard. Procedural memories may be easily demonstrated but are difficult to explain because they are activated without a conscious thought process. Once information has been effectively encoded and stored in our long-term memory bank, it must be retrieved before it can be used. The more attention paid to the information during the encoding phase, the more efficient the recall of it will be later on. Recall is also strengthened when motivation and incentives are supplied during the memory encoding phase. Our brains use 4 basic methods for long-term memory retrieval: recall, recollection, recognition, and relearning. Recall is the process of accessing information from either short-term or long-term memory. There are three types of memory recall: free recall, cued recall, and serial recall. Free recall is the process of remembering a list of items and then recalling them in random order. Examples of using free recall are writing the answers on a fill-in-the-blank exam, or the recitation of all 50 states and their capitals. Cued recall is reliant on prompts, hints, or reminders. You may hear a song or smell a scent that connects you with a memory. Or you may be asked to recite the capitals of all 50 states, but are first given the names of the states as clues. Serial recall is the ability to remember things in a specific order or the order in which they occurred. A witness to a crime uses serial recall when asked specifically what they saw and in what order. And it would be impossible to remember the combination of a lock without the use of serial recall. Recollection is the reconstruction of memory through the use of partial memories, logic, or cues. We use recollection when recalling the details of a vacation by looking at pictures we took when we were there. We also use recollection when trying to remember what happened in a dream. Recognition is the identification of information after re-experiencing it. When we run into a friend we haven't seen in years, recognition helps us to remember them. When taking a multiple choice exam, we use recognition to help us identify which answer is the correct one. Relearning involves relearning or reviewing information that has been learned before. Through this process, our memories are reinforced and become easier to retrieve in the future. The process of memory retrieval is not perfect. We all experience the frustration of knowing that a word is in our memory, being able to recall features of the word like its meaning, the first letter of it, or other words that sound like it, but not being able to fully access it. This state of mind is called the tip of the tongue phenomenon, or TOT. No one is exactly sure why we experience the tip of the tongue phenomenon, though there are three major theories: the direct access view, the inferential view, and the decay theory. The direct access view theorizes that our memory may be strong enough to trigger the thought, but not strong enough to recall it. The inferential view theorizes that TOT occurs when the target word is not actually in our memory, but we infer the knowledge of it through the piecing together of memorized clues. The decay theory suggests that memories are not permanent. Excuse me. When they are not retrieved over a period of time, traces of them begin to fade and disappear. People of all ages experience TOT from time to time. It typically occurs in younger individuals at least once a week, and in the elderly, 2 to 4 times per week. The frequency of TOT tends to increase with age. It is only classified as a medical condition when it begins to interfere with the person's ability to learn or function in daily life. TOT that has been a lifelong learning disability that began in childhood is called dysnomia. When it is acquired through head injury, stroke, or dementia, it is called anomia. Some believe that memory retrieval becomes difficult when memories interfere or compete with other memories. Two opposing interference theories exist, proactive interference and retroactive interference. Proactive interference is said to occur when an old memory makes forming a new memory difficult. If you are English speaking and trying to learn conversational Spanish, your knowledge of English grammar may interfere with your ability to learn Spanish grammar. Under this theory, children more easily learn other languages because they have less memory interference than adults do. Retroactive interference is said to occur when new information makes remembering old information difficult. When a teacher forgets the names of last year's students after learning the names of this year's students, retroactive interference may be responsible. It may also be responsible when forgetting an old telephone number after having a new one for a few years. Another theory regarding the difficulty of memory retrieval is that it was never encoded into the long-term memory in the first place. This is known as failure to store. Disturbing or traumatic memories that have been deliberately forgotten are characterized as motivated forgetting. There are two basic types of motivated forgetting: suppression and repression. Suppression is a conscious form of forgetting. Repression is an unconscious form of forgetting. Memory is subject to imagination and distortion. Sometimes we believe that a memory is accurate, but believing it is accurate does not guarantee that it is. Imagined or distorted memories fall under the category of false memory. False memory may be the result of misinformation, misinterpretation, interference from existing knowledge, or the incorporation of more recent information. Research has shown that false memories are highly susceptible to the power of suggestion. We're about halfway through, so I'm going to take a brief 1 minute intermission. I'll return after the musical interlude. Stay tuned. I'll be right back. Your memory, staying vital and sharp at any age. Most types of memory appear to be stored in the brain's cortex. Different regions of the cortex specialize in the storage of different aspects of a memory, such as visual cues, language, speech, association, concepts, etc. Nature has designed the human brain so that if one part of the brain is compromised, it will still retain parts of the experience. When everything is working optimally, all these aspects link up and a complete memory is formed. Certain aspects of memory, such as retrieval, attention, or the ability to form new memories, may be lost if specific regions of the cortex are damaged. Injury, disease, seizures, or stroke may all contribute to this happening. The first thing that comes to mind when we think of memory loss due to brain damage is amnesia. With amnesia, relational memory and short-term memory may both be impaired. But amnesiacs can often remember basic skills and retain their motor function ability. The most common form of amnesia is called anterograde amnesia. It is characterized by the inability to store, retain, or recall new information after the onset. Anterograde amnesia is common in those who suffer from dementia and Alzheimer's. Two other types of amnesia are retrograde amnesia and transient global amnesia. Retrograde amnesia, usually caused by a head injury, is the loss of all memories that occurred before the accident. Transient global amnesia is the temporary loss of all memory, often accompanied by disorientation, lasting 24 to 48 hours. Events that may trigger transient global amnesia are sudden immersion in hot or cold water, migraines, acute emotional distress, or certain medical procedures, alcohol, recreational drugs, and several prescription medications have also been known to bring on transient amnesia. Memory retrieval may be fallible, but there are things you can do to maximize your brain potential to improve your memory and mental performance. Scientists have discovered that our brains have an amazing ability to adapt and change at any age. The human brain is able to form new neural pathways and alter existing ones, even in the elderly. Staying mentally sharp depends on the health and vitality of your brain. Just as your body relies on sleep, exercise, and diet for its optimum performance, so does your brain. Exercise increases the oxygen flow to the brain and reduces the risk for memory loss diseases like diabetes and cardiovascular disease. To keep your brain active, you must use it or lose it. By challenging your brain with exercise and stimulation, you cause it to develop new neural pathways. These pathways will strengthen your memory. To stimulate your brain, choose enjoyable activities that are unfamiliar and out of your comfort zone. Learn a new language, play chess, do brain-teasing puzzles like crosswords or Sudoku, or tackle a new musical instrument. The enjoyment of your chosen activities will help you stay engaged in them. Sleep is critical to mental sharpness. It has been proven over and over that sleep-deprived brains can't function at full capacity. The other importance of sleep is that many of our daily experiences get encoded into memory while in its deepest stages. Over time, stress can take a heavy toll on the brain, even destroy brain cells. An effective way to relieve stress is through meditation. Scientific studies show that meditation physically changes our brains by increasing the thickness of the cerebral cortex. The result is more brain cell connections and therefore increased mental sharpness. Meditation is highly beneficial to our overall mental health. It can improve focus, concentration, creativity, and learning. Diet and nutrition are important factors for brain health and memory. Fruits and vegetables are loaded with antioxidants, nutrients, and enzymes that protect brain cells from damage. These foods are believed to play a role in preventing strokes and Alzheimer's disease. Superfoods, with antioxidant properties include fruits like mangoes, watermelon, and apricots, and leafy green vegetables like spinach, broccoli, and romaine lettuce. Eating foods like peanuts, grapes, berries, and cranberries will boost the flow of blood in your brain and also reduce your risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. Complex carbohydrates like brown rice, oatmeal, beans, high-fiber cereal, and whole wheat bread give the brain the fuel it needs for optimum performance. These whole foods provide lasting energy. Stay away from refined foods like sugar, white rice, white flour, and white bread. Though they will quickly boost your energy, they will soon cause a rapid drop in your blood sugar level and create brain fog. Omega-3 fatty acids are highly beneficial to brain health. They may also lower the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. Fish is a rich source of omega-3 fatty acids, particularly cold water fatty fish like salmon, tuna, sardines, trout, and halibut. If you don't like fish, you can take fish oil supplements or eat non-fish omega-3 sources like soybeans, walnuts, pumpkin seeds, or ground flaxseed. Studies show that diets high in saturated fats like red meat, cheese, butter, and whole milk can impair memory and concentration. Eating these animal products will also increase your risk of developing dementia. When taken in moderation, alcohol may improve memory and cognition. Red wine is the best option because it increases blood flow to the brain and reduces the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. The recommended serving is 1 glass per day for women and 2 glasses per day for men. Overuse of alcohol can kill brain cells, so always consume it in moderation. Countless studies show that socialization provides cognitive benefits. A recent study found that having an active social life may slow down the rate of memory decline. Interacting with others, whether through work, friendship, club membership, or volunteering, will effectively boost brain power. Laughter is not only the best medicine for the body, it is also the best medicine for the brain. When we laugh, we actively involve multiple regions of the brain. One of the major components of memory is attention. It takes 7 or 8 seconds of concentrated focus to encode new information into your long-term memory. For effective learning of new material, choose quiet, non-distracting places where you won't be interrupted. Learning new information over a period of time and reviewing it rather than cramming it in all at once is best for memory retention. Give your brain the time to adequately process any material you will need to remember. A very effective encoding technique is called elaborative rehearsal. This involves reading something, studying it, and then reading a more detailed description of it. For optimum recall, this process should be repeated a few times. Another effective way of learning is through a multi-sensory approach. The more senses you involve in learning, the stronger the imprint will be on your brain. Relate information to smells, tastes, and colors. Rewrite the information or read it out loud. A technique often used to aid in memory recall and the organization of thoughts called mnemonics. Mnemonics are clues that help us remember information by associating them with common items that we are familiar with. There are 6 mnemonic devices that can be used. acrostics, acronyms, chunking, method of loci, rhymes, and alliteration, and visual image. The acrostic method uses the first letter of each keyword and assigns it to new words to form an easy-to-remember sentence. An example would be the sentence, "Every good boy does fine," which represents the notes that make up the musical scale E, G, B, D, F. Acronyms are made-up words composed of the first letters of each keyword. We all remember the names of the Great Lakes by the word HOMES, which stands for Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Superior. Another example of an acronym is ROY GBIV, which represents the colors of the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Chunking is a mnemonic method that breaks a long list of numbers, letters, or information into smaller, more manageable groups. We use chunking to remember our social security numbers. For example, 1234567 89 would become 1234567 89. Another example is the 10 separate digits of a telephone number. 1234567890 would be divided into three groups: 1234567890, to make the numbers easier to remember. An ancient memory technique that has survived thousands of years and is still used by many people around the world is called the method of loci. It uses spatial associations between the information you need to memorize and a familiar location, such as the rooms of your house. To use this technique, you would make up a story about the items you want to remember by placing them in specific locations. It's best to use a logical flow of movement, like your morning routine. For instance, say you want to remember the words apple, raincoat, dog, and crayon. Your story might go something like this: I woke up this morning with a big red apple on the pillow next to me. As I walked down the hall to the bathroom, I stepped over the raincoat that was lying across the floor. When I got to the bathroom, my dog was taking a bath. Then I went outside to get the newspaper and smashed a crayon under my slipper. Rhymes and songs are interesting ways to remember boring information. A perfect example of that technique is learning the letters of the alphabet by singing the alphabet song. And the rhyme, 30 days has September, et cetera, easily helps us to remember the amount of days there are in each month. The use of visual imagery, particularly associations that are three-dimensional, vivid, or colorful, is an effective way to remember names or words. Visualization techniques require the learner to translate information from one format to another by first gaining an understanding of it and then creatively repackaging it into something with special or personal meaning. Some people find the drawing charts and diagrams helps them to remember. Another method is breaking an unfamiliar word down into words you know and associating them with mental images. For example, say you need to remember the word arteriosclerosis. You could visualize it as this: a painting, which would be art, of a cheerio, which would be erio, scaring, sclero, a bouquet of roses, rosas. So it would be art cheerio, scaring roses, or arteriosclerosis. You get it. You can practice using pictures to sharpen visual memory skills. First, stare at a picture for 15 seconds. Then turn the picture over and write down all the details you remember about it. One trick is to study the picture in a logical order, like left to right or up to down, and then write what you remember in the same order. The more practice you get with this method, the better your overall visual awareness will become. Reciting information aloud, whether verbatim or in your own words, will significantly improve the memory of it. This is called auditory encoding. One way to do this is by teaching new concepts to an imaginary audience or a live study partner. Anticipating questions that your students may ask before you start teaching will help you to anticipate potential questions that you might be asked on a test. Since you are forced to logically organize the material before you share it, this technique ensures both comprehension and recall. We've all forgotten where we put our keys or glasses and where we parked our car. But by making mental notes about the things we do and staying organized, these types of inconveniences can be avoided. When you park your car, make a mental note of nearby landmarks. Decide on a place where you will always put your keys when you come home, so they will be there every time you need them. To make reading glasses easier to find, keep a pair in every room or hang them on a chain around your neck. There is a common myth that as we age, we'll all develop senility. But healthy aging and memory loss do not go hand in hand. The belief in this myth keeps many people from trying to improve their memory. Our memories do change as we grow older. It takes more time and effort to retrieve names and words from memory or learn something new. But for the majority of older people, it does not impact their ability to live a normal life. No matter what age you are, a healthy body and mind requires exercise and stimulation. Never allow yourself to stagnate. Your memories are precious. Be sure to take good care of them. We're out of time, but please feel free to contact me with any comments and questions you may have by emailing me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. Randy is spelled with an I, R-A-N-D-I. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, January 19th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time as I discuss the topic, interpersonal attraction. What draws us to other people? All my shows will be archived and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.